Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association. Teaching, learning, leading.
After decades of trying, the Rappahannock Tribe was finally recognized by the federal government this year. Now, as we hear from David Poole with the Virginia Public Access Project, the Rappahannock are getting something else they've hoped for, a clearer picture of their importance in pre-colonial Virginia.
Yeah, this story is by Greg Schneider. He's a reporter with the Washington Post. It's about the Rappahannock Tribe, which is not as well known as some of the other tribes in Virginia. The reason is that they lived just outside the range of the first colonists, who, of course, were taken with Powhatan and his tribe. And so this tribe, the Rappahannock, is getting some help from some modern science. Archaeologist Julia King of St. Mary's College in Maryland is using GPS technology to evaluate where these tribes might live and how it might line up with the recordings of John Smith, who made a map of Indian settlements in the 17th century.
The findings contradict what has been generally believed about the tribe. But the Rappahannocks have said all along, haven't they, that the conventional wisdom about them was false.
The story quotes Ann Richardson. She's the chief of the tribe. And she said it did not jive with the oral histories of the tribe. And she's finding out this science is actually confirming that the oral traditions were in fact true.
Researchers are using new technology called geographic information systems, and they've found that the Rappahannock occupied far more land than had been believed, and that they would have been at least equal in power to the better-known tribes. But once they lost their land, they scattered and were at risk of losing their identity because, David, there were other challenges.
And then they had to face the eugenics movement of the early 20th century, where race was only a binary thing. You were either white, or if you had a drop of non-white blood, you were black.
There are about 240 Rappahannocks still on the tribal rolls, but Chief Richardson hopes federal recognition will help her connect with more of her people. Our next story is about peas and carrots. Not the veggies, but the Thanksgiving turkeys lately pardoned by President Trump. And David, their story ends happily.
Right. This story is by Robert McCabe. He's a reporter with the Virginian Pilot. A story about Gobbler's Rest. This is housed on the campus of Virginia Tech to receive and keep and let to live into an old age the turkeys that are pardoned every year at the White House National Thanksgiving Turkey Presentation. Maybe a natural fit for Virginia Tech. Their mascot, the Hokie Bird, is really kind of a newfangled take on a turkey.
Now, I'm sure many people don't know about the role a Virginian played in getting the whole White House turkey tradition going.
It was in 1947. That Charles Wampler of Rockingham County, who was then the first chairman of the National Turkey Federation, presented a live turkey to President Harry Truman. This is a tradition that has lived on and now has evolved into pardon. Hobie Baum, of the president of the Virginia Poultry Federation, says, quote, "Back then, I don't think it was necessarily a turkey pardon. Might have been a turkey dinner."
A pardon, though, has been the order of the day since the administration of President George H.W. Bush. David Poole is with the Virginia Public Access Project. I'm Fred Eccles.